What is going on, everybody? Nope, no music needed. It's Wednesday, it's hump day, it's whatever day you want to call it. But it's the day where the Get Snap podcast is on the air. You know who I am, and you know who's on the other side. Darnell Sparrow, Antoine Smooth. What's going on, pimp?
What's going on, man? How you doing?
Man, long day, busy day, tired day. So that I ain't even want to bring no intro music on. We jump into it. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying I'm a little under weather, but I'm here, man. I'm here.
See, that's what I'm saying. Even under the weather, you come through in the clutch. But if you've been following long enough, you know what today is. It's that Wednesday Q&A.
I hear the papers.
You hear the papers.
Yeah.
And as always, we definitely appreciate you when you bring these questions in, because I love them and I try to answer all of them I can in the hour time frame that we get. Well, I must say, I'm just looking at these questions. Some good ones. We see we got a lot of old school questions in here. So we got some fans in here. So all you youngins out there, y'all might want to get your notebook out.
Exactly.
You about to learn something. But we're gonna jump right into it. Because I'm ready to go.
Let's do it.
And we're gonna start off. We're talking about Chris Jericho. And the question is, can you believe it's been 30 years?
30 years, man. 30 years. I remember first seeing Chris Jericho. Actually, it was in Smoky Mountain is when I found out about Chris Jericho when he teamed up with Lance Storm. They were the Thrill Seekers.
Yes, sir. And one of the bloody
matches. Tag team. Mm-hmm.
How about that bloody match they had with the Heavenly Bodies?
Oh, yeah. That was really good.
I mean, because I look at it now, 1990, and I'm 41 now. I'm like, I pretty much follow Chris Jericho's career, and it's just amazing that even at this stage in his career, he's still going strong. And to me, he's getting better with age.
That's right. I mean, 30 years, man. Been to every promotion, traveled the world twice, and then some. Worked in every promotion, championships, you know, you name it, man. He done it.
And you don't hear too many people saying anything bad about Chris Jericho, because you know you get those vets, you know, some may like him, some don't. And that might be the case with him, but as far as wrestlers go, you don't hear it. But I want, what makes Chris Jericho special?
Yeah, that's the question. See, Chris Jericho, I don't think he ever been injured in his career, ever.
Or not. If he has been, you know, he hasn't been out long. Because like I said, right. Chris Jericho has been going strong.
He reinvents himself. He's the definition of reinventing himself.
Oh, no doubt about it. Now he's the demo guy. And like I said, I would like to see him, you know, have another run with the AEW title, because I think when he won it, I mean, he really put the stamp on that championship. John Moxley's doing an outstanding job with it now, but we had to start somewhere.
Yeah.
And the fact Chris Jericho, and I was surprised, I was a bit surprised that he won. I wasn't, yeah, but I was surprised at the same time, because I thought he was going to let the young guy win it. But once he put it on, you know, he just set it off.
Right, he did. And, he been everywhere, man. He's been the demo god. I think in New Japan, he was known as the Pain Maker.
Him and Ogata had some good feuds. He was the Rainmaker against the Pain Maker.
Right.
And he really, like I said, when he went to Japan, especially in these past few years, I mean, it was just amazing the fact he came back, went to AEW. When he said he was going to AEW, you know, it was a lot of skeptics out there who thought, okay, here come another WWE guy. But he's way beyond being just another WWE guy.
Yeah, I remember he said in the interview like years ago that he was always a WWE guy, no matter who shows up. But now all that's changed.
Oh, yeah, all those things. I mean, they would talk about check my resume. Y'all need to check Chris Jericho's resume because he's literally won every single title. He is one of the epitomes of Grand Slam champions.
Yeah, almost a 9-time Intercontinental champion.
Man, been TV champ, cruiserweight champ, tag champ, U.S. champ. Like you said, IC champ, multiple time world champ. ECW television champion. Can't forget about that.
No, can't forget that one. Yeah.
All those championships he won in Japan.
Yeah.
Man, that definitely speaks for itself. So next week, 30 years, Chris Jericho. I'm interested to see if they shirt about that. Like how they kind of did when Triple H hit his 25. I'm shocked he didn't lock Triple H.
You know what? Yeah, that's true.
I'm a little surprised. He got him beat by 5 years. And he's still going. He's no part-timer.
No, he's not.
So big ups to the demo guy. 30 years, definitely impressive. So we're going to go on to the next question. And the question is, what WWE titles should come back or go away?
Let's see. Hey. You know what? That's a good one. Yeah, I'm going to let you answer first, then I'll answer mine.
I say what should go away is the 24/7 title, and they should just bring back the actual hardcore belt.
Okay.
I think the hardcore belt has more lineage to it.
Yeah.
I'm looking at my replica 24/7 belt. I know we might as well call that the R-Truth Championship.
Pretty much. He's a, 32-time champion?
He ain't hit the 40s by now, the way he's winning. I mean, he's really keeping it on TV. That's pretty much his belt. When he go in the Hall of Fame, that's going to be one of the big things they talk about. But I think since they going this route, they need to just bring back the hardcore title. I mean, even though it was a broken version of the Wing Eagle, again, it had lineage to it. People really wanted to be the hardcore champion for some reason. Yeah. No.
You had your Crash Hollies and your Mick Foley's, of course, and
you want to think about it, but Raven won them a lot of times too.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Let me see, like Stevie Richards, he won it about 20 plus times.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. What could be another one? I think they should bring back. I think they should bring back the light heavyweight title. I think cruiserweights probably a little. It's not the same how it used to be to me.
Right.
I think the light heavyweight division in that era to era, we got to see not only some of the best wrestlers. We got to see. I mean, we saw Jerry Lynn was light heavyweight champion.
Right.
And then, I don't know, just some about that belt that I like. Because I'm not really feeling that now it's the NXT Cruiserweight title. They need to bring back the light heavyweight title. What you think?
Okay. Yeah, sound good. Like you said, cruiserweights is, they're not really cruiserweights now. You know, they talking about you have to be under 205, whatever, or at 205. Back in the day, it didn't matter. You know what I mean? Like 205 or 160, it didn't matter.
Think about a light heavyweight back then was up to what, 230?
230,
Trying to be bad days when he was going after it, like 230, 234 was light heavyweight. So it definitely works, especially for a guy like Pillman.
Right.
See, if Pillman fought these guys at if Pillman hits out like 220 fighting these guys at 205, it wouldn't even look the same.
No, it wouldn't.
Let's see. What other things I think should come back? I'm kind of on the fence about the Universal. I think I really don't see the Universal title lasting. I give another couple years, it'll probably go away. I think they're probably going to go back to having one champion, do both shows. That's what I missed.
Yeah, because I was about to say, I thought you were going to say that they should bring the big gold belt back.
They should. Well, they either that one or they bring back the old Undisputed.
Yeah, there you go. That was a good belt.
That was a good belt, and especially looked real good. It made Brock look good. It looked funny on Eddie because he was a smaller guy, but it looked good on guys like Brock.
Mm-hmm. So even
The Rock had it. I'm curious to see. And I might post that on the Snap Customs page. You know, what belts do you miss? Come back. Which ones we should get rid of? Because that's really going to test to me, you know, what type of wrestling fans we definitely dealing with.
Now, as far as me go, I think for NXT UK, I think they should have the European title. They have the NXT, you know, United Kingdom, but that could be their secondary to European.
I know that's an excellent point. They need to just get rid of the NXT UK belt and just bring back that European belt. Just bring it back.
Yeah. I can understand why they're doing that, you know, NXT UK, NXT UK champion. I understand that. I mean, I was going to say that the European could be their secondary, you know.
Yeah, that could too. But see, that your European belt. How many Europeans actually wore it? Was Bulldog and Regal?
Bulldog, Regal, and Shawn Michaels.
I'm talking about that was actually from Europe.
Okay. Yeah.
Bulldog,
them two. Yeah.
This time, you know, make it make sense. Bring that sucker back and keep it there. I mean, just revamp the NXT UK title. Just make it the NXT European title. But keep that belt. Right. Just take the old WWE logo, put the NXT logo on there, boom, and we got something.
All right,
we're going to the next question. What I believe we talked about this one previously, but someone asked, what are your thoughts on WWE and their stop push of Lacey Evans? I mean, what are they saying that we see?
Well, for me, I think they need to really push her in that Marine, you know, that Marine thing with her, because that actually working, you know, that she went and did the tour with the tribute to the troops and all that. They need to push that.
They need to. I think one of the mistake they made when they turned her heel, when they did that karaoke and they turned her heel, she was going somewhere as a face when he was talking about, you know, being in the military, and she was talking about, you know, being a mom. I mean, they definitely could have worked with that, but for some reason,
I don't understand.
They seem to get up on her, but they giving, and no disrespect to Nikki Cross, they giving Nikki Cross all these title shots.
Right.
Nikki Cross all these title shots. If you felt a certain type of way about her, send her to another brand.
Mm-hmm.
Send her to another brand and let her show you. If you need to send her back to NXT, do it. Send her back as a baby. They got enough heels. Send her back down there to baby. I'll put it this way, she could almost be the vet for the females on that brand.
Right.
And she probably
need to bring her back to her old sanity, Nikki Cross. Not this one here.
Nikki, I think Nikki Crow, like I said, she's going to keep getting shots. But as far as, like I said, with Lacey, they need to send her back down to NXT. Let her be the top baby face over there.
Because
there's no reason why she all this time don't have a championship. I don't know what it is, what they're not seeing. I think she is going to do better. I mean, they put, and again, no disrespect to Dana Brooke, they put Dana Brooke back on TV and gave her a tag team partner. And don't be surprised they get pushed.
Oh yeah, they're gonna get pushed to the moon.
Don't be surprised. Cause they always say how Vince McMahon got this thing for blondes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really now I went blank. Mandy Rose. She looked like she's trying to be the new Trish Stratus.
Oh yeah. I saw seen the picture, see the outfit she had. They did a comparison.
Yep, I said she gonna wind up being a nutrient strategist, guaranteed.
Yep.
Now this one, like I said, you wasn't at the event, so they're just based on what we talked about, because we talked about the Jerry Lawler 50th anniversary, and the question was, could the Jerry Lawler 50th anniversary show been better? I'm gonna say this on that. The show was amazing. They could have had it anywhere. It would have been amazing. Now, if I have to be forced to answer that question, and I think a lot of fans, especially here in Memphis, and the true Jerry Lawler fan would agree with me, and even you may agree, the only thing that could have made that event better was putting it in the Mid-South Coliseum. That's it.
Oh, goodness. Yes.
That would have been the only thing that could have made it better. Because, you know, one, it would have that place would have been packed. COVID or no
Oh, no
COVID,
doubt.
that place would have been packed.
No doubt about it.
And don't get me wrong, I said they had a good 2,500, which was an increase from the original. I mean, but we had a good time. I know I had a good time. They should have took that net down that they use for baseball to keep people from getting hit with the baseball. They should have took that down. But that's not really, you know, a mood killer. But I said that's the only thing I can see, you know, making it better. You know, I had some people say, well, he should have fought an up and comer, or he should have, I know you mentioned it too, has something to do with Bill Dundee.
Him and Bill Dundee have a match. Yeah.
Have a match, or you know, have a tag match, because it would have been cool if him and Bill Dundee would have fought like the Fabs. That would have been cool. I don't know, you know, how the condition of Bobby Eaton was. So I wouldn't mind he fought the Midnight Express. Well, we know
That'll be good.
Chris Condrey can't go, but I know Stan Lane can.
Oh,
That would have been something good. But you got to think about it. He had feuds with Tommy Rich, Doug Gilbert. You know, he's recently been feuding with Matt Riviera. So on that side of the fence, it made sense. But like I said, that's the only thing I can see would have made it better. Put it in the Mid-South Coliseum. But shout out to the Jackson General Stadium. I mean, that stadium is freaking nice on the outside. Go in, it's very clean. I have no big complaints about it. Now, this one I think can be for you. What are your thoughts on Brickhouse Brown?
My thoughts on Brickhouse Brown. Brickhouse was a good wrestler, actually. I remember first seeing him back in, I want to say, when he first came to Memphis around the, where the Stud Stable was forming with Robert Fuller, and they did the watermelon angle with
Oh,
him.
and look that up.
Yeah.
I don't know what we're talking about.
Right. The Stud Stable came out there. They were celebrating. And Brickhouse Brown, Gorgeous Gary Young, and all them was in there. Downtown Bruno, he was a part of them as well. And they were talking about, hey, let's crack open this watermelon, you know. He said, hey, come on, Brick, let's eat some of this watermelon. And Brick easily got offended, you know. And me being, a black person, I kind of a little bit got offended, but we all know growing up now, that was a cool angle. But
Right.
at the time, right. But at the time, I was like, man, come on now, you know. And so Brickhouse, like I said, he could talk, he could walk, you know. The hair was a little left to be desired, but you know.
Oh, I'm glad you brought it up, because I remember Brick House from the Mid-South day when he really had the Jerry curl. But one thing about Brick was all he was. If you go back to the Mid-South day, Brick was quick.
Yeah, he could drop kick. I mean, he could do all. I mean, he could work.
Brick,
One,
I
yeah.
just got one hit on Brickhouse Brown, and I think you might know where I'm about to go with this. Or MC Slammer.
MC, you know why they did that, right?
Yeah.
Because Hammer was out, and MC Hammer was hot then,
Right.
He was coming out to Please Hammer. You know, he had Please Hammer, Don't Hurt Him. The album that came out, it sold, you know, it sold really well. And so they were like, you know what? Since Hammer's so hot right now, let's name him MC Slam. And see, Brick House always dance too. That's another thing.
Yeah, always dance. So I watched a couple the old classic USWA, you know, they gave him that generic music and he trying to rap to it. He all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
MC Slam, that's Brick House. I mean, there wasn't nothing, you know, he didn't really change. He didn't come out to look like a rapper or nothing like that. He just was a name change.
Yeah, because that first, they were originally supposed to give him Too Legit to Quit as his theme song. Mm-hmm. Either right. That or Please, what's the other one?
Well, Can't Touch This.
Can't Touch This. It won those two. Yeah.
I said, but yeah, Brick House, you know, he been around the game a long time. A very long time. I mean, well respected.
God rest him, man. Yeah.
God rest him because he passed
away. Prostate cancer. Yeah.
They said he passed away. Then they came back and said, no, he didn't. I mean, he hung on.
He hung on, yeah.
He hung on to his body. His body just, you know, just told him, you know, it's time to go. But, you know, they did the Brick House Brown tribute show. Didn't they do – they did that in Tunica, didn't they?
No, they did that in on Beale Street. Reggie hosted it, you know. They did a little battle royal for him, and they had a couple of matches here and there. It was on the edge of Beale Street.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm thinking of the event they did in Tune. Brick House Brown was actually there.
No, not that one. It was the first one was, but then the other one was in different various promotions. Yeah.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Brick House. Next question. Now this is an interesting question. Should the WWE reinstitute the WCW Hall of Fame?
I'm going to say yes,
because they didn't really put that many people in the WCW Hall of Fame when it wasn't WCW. They did what, at two slamborees?
And one at Wahoo McDaniel and somebody else.
Wahoo, Dusty, Gordon Soley, I believe the Masked Assassin. I mean, they have some legends.
Right.
But should they just give WCW their own win?
I mean, you know, I think they should. There's not many people in it, you know. So they kind of do it like a slamboree type of deal, you know.
And they really need to, because you have guys. I mean, they have some guys who weren't WCW that's in the WWE Hall of Fame. But, mm-hmm. I mean – I think guys that's I get an example. Barry Windham. Barry Windham, true enough, is in the Hall of Fame as a horseman. They never gonna put him in the WWE Hall of Fame by himself. Put him in the WCW Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Cause if you go back to those young Western states, matter of fact, I go further than that when he was teaming up with Ronnie Garvin with the US belts. Barry Windham. Was that guy everybody talked about? The only thing I was disappointed in was he won the WCW, he won the NWA title so late.
Yeah. I mean, he beat Muta for that, right?
He beat Muta. Mm-hmm. That was Super Brawl
3, I think.
Super Brawl 3.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't wasn't even the main event.
Yeah, that was at the time they was the NWA was in Japan, right?
And I was surprised.
The international belt, you know, with Rick Rude with the international.
I was surprised he beat Muta.
Yeah.
Then beat him with a DDT.
See, right.
That's when they had that, what it was, that slam jam album. Everybody had their own theme song.
Oh, like Ron Simmons had Don't Step to Ron and had what's that, Jake the Snake Master, the DDT, and Cactus Jack, Mr. Bang Bang, and
And again, if y'all youngins don't know, we're talking about, go look it up. I'm sure somebody got it on eBay, Amazon, and it's probably pricey.
Yeah.
Man, that was actually a popular. I mean, everybody had, everybody up out, Too Cold had his.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of those popular, I mean, believe it or not, it actually sold.
Yeah, I had that as a kid, had the cassette. Yeah.
Oh, man.
It was good.
And just to jump off subject for breaking news, for those who don't know, NXT star Tegan Knox has suffered a torn ACL.
Man, that's her third one.
That's,
I think, yeah. Man.
So if she's not, if she recovers from this and get back in the ring, she's tough. But that's almost, that's pretty much a career ender.
Right, because I remember the first one she had, that was at the Mae Young Classic, right?
Right.
I'm correct. And then the second one she had was not too long ago after that.
It was around the time her and Dakota Kai got hurt around the same time.
Time, right. And then this one here. Like you said, man, she recovered, man. She tough, but man, it's going to be hard for her. Her knee's going to be bad
yes.
if she gets over.
Yeah, especially if she's trying to, she's going to keep wrestling. That's pretty much a definitely career ender. But yeah. we hope she recovers from this, she bounces back from this. But you know, that's the nature of that business, man.
Right.
Definitely the nature. But let's go on to the next question here. And this was cute. I believe a kid probably asked this question. Like, have you ever played Japanese wrestling games and how tough are they? Actually, I actually have some Japanese wrestling games. I have the Fire Pro Wrestling. I have the All Japan Wrestling games for my Dreamcast. I got my Dreamcast actually modified to play Japanese games. And they are not as easy as they look, especially when everything's in Japanese. You don't know what's what, so you have to get your phone and your computer and get the English version of the instruction books. But mm-hmm. it's cool though, you know, to see, you know, like the Fire Pro, of course they have, you know, American wrestlers, they have WCW, WWF, they have, you know, all the Japan wrestlers. I mean, it's cool. And anybody that ever played Fire Pro, that's one of the most popular wrestling games out there. Like I said, I have the first two All Japan games. Still trying to get the concept down. Cause I always try to play with Dr. Dead. One of them I play with Dr. Dead, and the other one I play with Vader.
Mm-hmm.
So they are a little tough. Like I said, you're gonna definitely have to Google the instructions in English to know what levels you playing, whether you're playing single, tag, or tournament or whatever.
Right.
But it's still good. Definitely still good. They need to.
I think I played a few myself, but I'm gonna go further back than that. Go to the Neo Geo, and I go. What's that game called? Real Bout, I think.
Yeah,
I think that's what it's called. Cause they had this dude called the Red Dragon, where he was supposed to be a version of the Great Muta.
Yeah,
yeah. I used to play him all the time because he looked like Muta. So. Yeah, some of them games are tough, no doubt about it, man.
I'm trying to find one. I'm trying to find the one that looks like WrestleMania 2000 and No Mercy.
Yeah.
I cannot remember which one that is. Once I figure out, I'm going to try to order that. But it took me forever to get them games. Got to order them off eBay. Maybe almost at the beginning of the year. I think I got them maybe like a month and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
Then I went, like I said, I went and got my Dreamcast modified. So I took it to the game store, had to order the part.
Right.
So now it's Japanese ready.
Okay.
But they need to start making those Japanese games, you know, Americanize them and sell them. So I might. Right.
Oh, I know I would, no doubt.
Let's see. Next question. Again, thank you guys. This is the Get Snap podcast. It is hump day. It's Wednesday night Q&A. We asking the questions. We going to ask them, and we having a good time doing it as always. So on to the next question. Now, you know, this is definitely an old school question here. Talk about our man Steve Lombardi, who, by the way, needs to be in the WWE Hall of Fame. But the question about him is, what are your thoughts on Steve Lombardi as the Brooklyn Brawler and Abe Knuckleball Schwartz?
Oh, my goodness. You know what? I like Brawler better than Abe Knuckleball Schwartz because, you know, Brooklyn Brawler, Bobby Heenan actually managed him.
Yeah.
You know, and that right there is credentials enough, you know. Just to let you know, Bobby Heenan managed him. I mean, he had matches with Hogan and Savage and Andre. I think Andre wrestled him. Let's see, who else he Brooklyn Brawl wrestled?
He managed
the Who too, man. Yeah.
I'm not sure. He made the Red Rooster look good.
Made Red Rooster look good with that WrestleMania 5 when Bobby Heenan and the Red Rooster, he was in his corner.
Matter of fact, I'm going to throw a question in there. Which version of Terry Taylor did you like the most?
Oh, my goodness. Let's see. I think Terry Taylor from, like, the Mid-South.
Yep, agreed. There it is. When he was the national heavyweight champion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I was about to say the tailor-made man and Terrence Taylor.
Taylor, yeah. Pretty much they were both the same.
Yep,
Terrence Taylor, the tailor-made man, yeah.
See, did you like him when he was with Greg Valentine?
When they was all right. Yeah, they were pretty good tag team. Because, see, what they was trying to do with the tailor-made man, all there was another version of Ted DiBiase.
That's all.
If you look at the suits. Yeah, look at the suit he wore. Yeah. But they had a pretty decent tag team, him and Greg Valentine.
I think to me, I said that would have been a good team, but it was kind of, to me, it was too late in the game.
Yeah.
If they were both in their primes, yeah, they probably would have did some things. But back to Steve Lombardi, if you go back, he wrestled as himself. That's the Steve Lombardi.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. And he was actually winning matches with those. If you go to those old MSG shows, those house shows.
Right.
Then it became the Brooklyn Brawler. Abe Knuckleball Schwartz, I thought, was hilarious. I mean, I know why they did it, because it was around the time the strike was going on.
Mm-hmm.
I think the funniest time he came out is when DX came out, and they asked him, "Who the hell are you?" And he said, Abe Schwartz and Triple A said, "Well, I guess the Brooklyn Brawler was busy tonight."
Right, I remember that, yeah. That was hilarious.
And you know, that kind of went through a few people's head.
Right.
And when I say all you youngins out there, I know when y'all saw that, y'all didn't get the joke.
Mm-mm.
Because, I caught it easy.
Yeah.
And yes, we need to get the petition to get the Brooklyn Brawler in the WWE Hall of Fame. No legacy, no nothing. You need to go in the Hall of Fame. You made a lot of dudes look good, and he wasn't a bad wrestler. That was the money ball, but he made a lot of dudes look good, put a lot of dudes over.
That's right.
Big ups to Steve Lombardi. And since we talked about the NWA heavyweight title, there's another old school question, but the majors coming out there.
Mm-hmm.
What were your thoughts on Ronnie Garvin winning the NWA World Heavyweight title?
Now, I'm going to say this here. Ronnie Garvin, you know, everybody liked him. You know, he was a babyface when he won, of course. And at the time, as a kid, I was actually happy as a kid. I'm like, man, somebody, you know, Ronnie Garvin beat Ric Flair. I thought it would never happen, you know, especially a guy like that. But that told me right there, man, I'm like, Ronnie Garvin went in time. It wasn't a bad run, you know. He had a little decent little run.
Okay, he was in because he won it on Worldwide in a cage.
Right.
He lost it at the Bash 87 in a cage.
In a cage.
Because I think around that time, he was what? In his 40s anyway? He was pretty much on his way out the door. So that was almost like a consolation prize for him to let him put it. Then he went on to become
Rugged Ronnie Garvin. Yeah.
Which was what I think he knew it. He was just straight mid-carding.
Yeah, the only good matches he had, well, not, I didn't say he had a bad match, but I'm talking about they really pushed him a little bit was with Greg Valentine.
When they had the
hammer jammer and the
heart attack.
Oh. And the heart attack, right.
That was definitely a good feud.
Mm-hmm.
He another one. I'm like, Jimmy in? Why can't the Hands of Stone go in the Hall of Fame? And again, when I talked about, you know, the WCW Hall of Fame, NW Hall of Fame, whatever you want to call it, that's another guy that need to go.
Yeah, Ronnie Garvin, yes.
Again, you go
good worker too.
Go to those, go back in those mid-Atlantic days.
Mm-hmm.
Mid-Atlantic days, those early 80s NWA days, Ronnie Garvin can go.
Right. I think he started the open hand chop. I'm talking about like overhand.
Yep.
He started that, yeah.
I mean, he was a technical wrestler. He was just knocking fools out. Then he wasn't no big dude.
Mm-mm.
I mean,
he could take one as well as dish it. Yeah.
Right. I just want to know where he got all these tiles from.
Right. Got RG on the tiles. Yeah. You can throw them out in the crowd. Yeah.
I want to know how many people still got their Ronnie Garvin tiles. And I guarantee they still got them out all these years. Yeah, they were something.
Oh, of course. No doubt.
So we hear another. We need to put on the list. But see, around that time, that's when Flair was giving guys them little short runs. I said, damn, he won it and Jimmy didn't. And Jimmy had the better feud with him because they were feuding over Precious.
Oh, yeah. Now, that's another one that should have won. Yeah, Gorgeous Jimmy Garvin. This ain't Jimmy Jam, not yet.
I'm talking about
this is Gorgeous. Yeah.
I'm talking about Short Dress Man when he, after the Midnight Express. Beat up Ronnie. He turned babyface. I'm talking about sharp dressed man with the hairspray, with the brain buster.
Right. They had Precious with him. Yeah.
Oh, this is hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
The next question is about one of our man of many gimmick type wrestlers, Barry Darso. Now, the question is, which gimmick of Barry Darso did you like the most?
Oh, okay.
Now,
Smash
is kind of the obvious one, but I got to go with Khrushchev.
Crusher Khrushchev, the Russian sympathizer.
I got to go with Crusher Khrushchev on this one.
Yeah.
The black top bully was annoying.
Yeah.
Let me see.
He made that work.
Yeah, he did, because he had that breaker 1-9 finisher.
1-9. Mm-hmm.
And then he was the hole in, he was the golf gimmick, then he was just himself.
Yeah.
I mean, Smash got him over.
Yeah, Smash got him over, yeah.
Crusher Khrushchev got him over in the Carolinas.
Right.
Because he was what? He was the NWA tag champ. I believe it was six man. That was them days. But he was big. Nikita was just jacked up to the moon. And Ivan was the voice, but he was still gone.
Right.
I can't believe. Yeah, he was the WWF champion, but he was a filler champion. He was a filler champion with Bruno? No.
Mm-hmm.
It was Bruno.
No, it was Bruno. Was it? I think it was. Let's see. Was it Bob Backlund? Maybe.
I believe it was Backlund.
Backlund, yeah.
That's good. Ivan was too talented. He, you know, with that accent, he was good on the mic.
Mm-hmm.
He made the kid look like $1 million.
Right. Fans hated his guts. Oh, yeah. My goodness.
And who would have thought that? He actually would have turned babyface at one point.
I never thought that. The way people hated him.
I said, the Colossus?
Right. Especially Nikita.
Yeah, that was a Dusty Rhodes day. We got to thank Dusty Rhodes for that one.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see what we got. Okay, this all you right here. What are your thoughts on the John Silver coming to Memphis? Feuding with Jerry Lawler and saying he was the new king.
You know what? That was pretty funny. That was, yeah. I didn't really take that seriously. I know Later, he became part of the Oddities, you know, later on in the Attitude Era. Now, with him coming there, it made sense those, because...
Now, for those who don't know what we're talking about, I'm going to let you tell that story of how that even came about.
Well, I'm going to say this here. You know, before he became the Oddities over there in the Attitude Era in the late 90s, he came down, you know, they had Kurgan. Remember Kurgan?
Yeah.
They had Kurgan. They had the, and Recon and Kurgan, they was the Truth Commission.
Recon. Right. It was Recon, Sniper, Kurgan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were the Truth Commission. And the John Silver, you know, Jerry Lawler had to have a, you know, he wrestled big guys in the past, you know. So they was thinking, they said, we need us a big guy for him to face, you know. So John Silver came in. He was just, you know, the big guy coming in. He was telling Lawler that he was going to be the new king, just like everybody else did, you know. Like what he did with Eddie Gilbert and, you know, Reggie.
One little cat out about that.
Mm-hmm.
That was all Randy Hales. That's when Randy Hales couldn't stand Lawler.
Yeah. So he was trying to get everybody he could. He was trying to really find a big man to go after. Like, he couldn't get Sid. He was out, you know. So he was the next best thing, you know.
Oh, 7 foot, everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that could. That was around the. What was it called?
It was Rumble on the River. Mm-hmm. Rumble on the River.
Yeah, that didn't last long at all.
No, it didn't.
So now we're going to talk about some current that just happened, which happened at the Clash of Champions. What are your thoughts on that Universal title match, Roman Reigns, Jey Uso?
You talk about the epitome of telling a story. That was 100% perfect. From beginning to end. I mean, and especially they pulled the Rocky IV on us.
Yeah.
You know. When Jimmy looked up at him and Roman had that if he dies, he dies look.
Yes.
Now that was absolutely perfect.
Let me say this. Roman Reigns is to just really put himself on the level of heel.
He did. Man,
you wanted to be a heel, you did it. I mean, you came back. I mean, we already knew you was a big dude, but you came out jacked up.
Yep.
And then you did what you did to your cousin. Then Jimmy came out.
He was hopping and limping, you know, and he was like, I'm gonna throw the towel in, Oos. He like, no, don't throw it in. Don't throw it in.
That's why
I was that part. Throw the towel, throw the damn towel.
And then people, Paul Heyman was like, you're the truth. He's like, I don't want you to do it. I want him to do it. Intimidating the referee. That's the Roman Reigns that's been missing.
Right. He told Jay, just take the payday. He just kept like whispering it. Just take the payday, Jay. Just take it.
Yeah, just call me Travis and take the pay. He wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
So they told it perfect. So it's one of them things, but they probably going to keep him healed for a long time.
They better, yeah.
Right time, they turn him face. See, this is that time where they need to, you know, Rikishi need to come in, try to talk to him. He gets spilled.
Mm-hmm.
You know, other members come in.
They get attacked.
And that's to set it up for The Rock.
Mm-hmm.
If they do Rock and Roman at WrestleMania, you know people got to be in the crowd for that.
Oh, of course. They got to.
Yeah, that's going to be one of your biggest main events in WrestleMania history. I'm calling it.
Mm-hmm. And you know Roman going to do all that, take the payday, and I'm the chief. And I mean, he going to talk all kinds of noise.
Oh, no, he overplays. And then you got Heyman.
You got Heyman, yeah.
Pretty much
$1 million. Right.
I can't wait to see Friday.
Yeah, ain't he supposed to address, you know, the situation?
Oh yeah.
I think that's what they said. Yeah.
Let's see what we got. What we got for the next question? Let's see. It's going down. This is funny. This is an NWO question. Say, did you like Vicious and Delicious as a tag team?
I actually did. I know you can attest to that because, you got Buff Bagwell and Scott Norton, two big guys, and they actually were dominant. You know, they weren't just no slouches, especially Scott Norton, you know.
And I'm honored.
I enjoyed
it. I'm definitely honored. I got a chance to meet him. Got the autographs. Got his book signed. And he still like a big dude, intimidating. But he said, yeah, but let me take this shirt off. He won't be so intimidating. Still throwing up the NWO sign. Which I like Fishers and Delicious. I wish they should have done more with him. I know when they was in Japan, they did a whole lot, but they pretty much was part of that B team crew.
Yeah,
when you knew you was B team when you had that B team theme music, you knew it.
Yeah, I remember that. Do 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 do. Yeah, I remember that.
Like, oh, like what?
And they're like, well, we know who coming out. There was only
a certain few, and you knew it. But yeah, they should have definitely did more, even if they left the NWO.
Mm-hmm.
Could have did something with him because Norton back then, big dude, just power bombing everybody. If I'm not mistaken, he was while he was in NWO, wasn't he IWGP champion?
Yep, he was.
That's when they had that belt, the one that looks like the crown on it,
right?
IWGP on it.
One of the hardest power bombs in the business.
Yes.
I mean, he used to drill people with that power bomb.
Yeah, wasn't even his finisher. Wasn't his finisher a shoulder breaker?
Shoulder breaker, uh-huh. Had the shoulder breaker, had the power bomb to set up for it. Yeah. Yep.
And so we both agree. They could have done something a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
But how about this one? You think Virgil got a bad rap in wrestling? Because he seemed like he's more of a joke in the business, or they make jokes about him. I'll put it that way.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course, he was the bodyguard for Ted DiBiase, Million Dollar Man. Had a little decent little run, after he left DiBiase, won the $1 million title.
Because if I'm not mistaken, he wrestled in when he was in Stu Hart's company.
Oh, yeah, I can't forget for Soul Train Jones. How can I forget that?
You can't forget Soul Train Jones. He was Mike Dunne. He was Soul Train Jones. You see, now that was the thing. I tried to argue people. I said, Virgil was actually doing things in the ring.
Right.
He wasn't no scrub at all.
Mm-mm.
Once he had that little run, he won the $1 million title. You know, they just kind of fell back on it. He just became being that target for gimmicks.
Yep, that's it. It's sad, really, because he was a good worker. I seen when he was Soul Train Jones. And yeah, he was a good worker. And it's a shame, man. They could have did more with him.
They definitely could have did more with him. Like I said, he got the WCW. You know, he was just that dude that, you know, he had to take the beatings.
Mm-hmm.
And he was then, you know, he then he did the West Texas redneck thing, and then he became Shane.
Right, he was Curly Bill.
It was Curly Bill. Then he was Shane, and then he just ended up just being Mike Jones.
Mm-hmm. Which is his real name.
Which is his real name.
Yeah,
and that's another guy. Like I said, they, you know, we see what he do. And what he don't do on social media. Yeah, it's about that time he hit another one. I'm going to say he needs to go in the Hall of Fame. Why not? I mean,
especially with he's most known for being the bodyguard for DiBiase, which, right. You know, he was in a lot of his of good angles of storylines with Andre and Ted and, you know.
When he first wrestled, he fought mm-hmm. But they were like on Superstars or something like that. I think that's when Savage was champion.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Let's see. Go on to the next one. Ah, this is a good one. if you could put, since we segue into the $1 million championship, if you could put the $1 million championship on any wrestler, any company, who would it be?
Oh, that's a tough one there. That's a good question. A very good question.
Oh, I would say, while you think about it, I say, if I had to do it right now, this second, I would say probably MJF would probably be my pick.
Yeah, that's a good pick.
I would say MJF. I'm going to get to it. I say MJF, or I'm going to go left and probably somebody nobody probably thinking. The MJF, or I'll put it on Adam Cole.
Yep, that's a good one. For me, I say one of them for me is Bobby Roode.
Okay.
Who else? Probably The Miz.
Now you know
I'm the Miz kind of doing it.
Now I'm gonna throw an awkward one at you.
Mm-hmm.
Teen Dream.
You know the segments he'll do with that belt.
Exactly.
Just imagine. Yeah.
The segments he'll do, no telling what he'll do to modify that belt.
Yeah.
He'll make it work.
He'll probably put like purple diamonds in the belt. You know, make the strap purple, you know. Yeah. The dollar signs will still be there, but it'll be purple diamonds.
It'll be a purple thing, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what we got. We're scrolling down. We've got a lot. Oh, here's a good one. Should WWE do more Crown Jewel shows?
Well, while everything is going on, I don't think so. I don't think they need to, because of the situation that happened there where the superstars were held up
mm-hmm.
by the government. I mean, by the government now, by the prince himself. The prince said, stop everything. And you know you got power when you control an airport.
Right.
So.
Right. My thing is, if they do a crown jewel, do it in the States. I know, you know, the king and the prince, you know, they paying you to bring, you know, whoever they want to see there. But yeah. Those were really good shows. They really weren't. And then wasn't the last one they had a DX against the Brothers of?
Oh my God. You talk about a turtle match. I call it a turtle match because it was slow.
No, oh, yes.
It was slow as molasses.
Dude, I left, went to the store, went filled my basket over groceries, paid for it, came back. They were still going. They were still coming to the ring.
Yeah. It was terrible, man. That match was horrible.
Yeah, and I know they want to bring like the money guys in, like Goldberg and all that. No, but they need to stop doing that.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't need to run that no more. I understand the prince wanted to see him and, you know, all that. The prince say, I want to see this person, that person, but don't do it no more.
And Hulk Hogan paid all that money just to come out and talk for a few minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hell, I could do that.
All right. Because I think after he did that, I think him, Flair, Jimmy Hart got on the private plane and left.
Right. Yeah, so they might need to think about that. Like I said, they do it in the States. Better when we get people involved, hit some venues that definitely probably would need to draw that revenue.
Right. Do it in Hawaii or something, you know?
Right. Just have that theme to it.
Right.
We're going to go on to a next one. Now, this could be either from an old fan or a young fan. Say, what is the one thing you will always remember as far as being a wrestling fan?
The one thing I remember being a wrestling fan is sitting down. I was, sitting down watching, scrolling through the channels, watching, the guys come to the ring and insult the fans, or you know, high five them, and you sitting there eating your cereal, your Cocoa Puffs, like I did, you know, and watching that. Well, for me, for Memphis wise, Saturday morning wrestling every Saturday, 10 o'clock on Channel 5.
Oh yes,
and that was the place back then. I mean, any Memphis wrestling fan know that time slot, and you know it was time when 10 o'clock hit. I gotta watch.
I said, that was like how it was with Soul Train. I know for me, 11 o'clock, Soul Train was on. We watching. Mm-hmm. Just no difference. Because he's back in New Orleans. Like I said, we had a new Sunday nights. You know, 10:30, you had World Class / USWA. Glow would come on behind it.
Then Mid-South, well, that was the same one. Mid-South and
Mid-South was Saturdays. Like early 80s, mm-hmm. like Saturday, like 9, 10 o'clock. And then the NWA took that slot, Worldwide Wrestling. But I think mm-hmm. one of the things I always remember about being a wrestling fan is actually meeting the people that I got to see on TV.
Yeah, that's another thing, too. And then another thing I want to add on to that, what you said, me working as when I was doing managing and wrestling, working with people I thought I would never work with, people like Bill Dundee and Doug Gilbert and even Big Daddy V, God rest his soul, King Mabel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was a dream come true, just to know them, pick their brain about the business, shake their hand, just actually have a conversation with them, you know.
And that,
I'll never forget that.
And it actually segues to the question I got. The next question, this will be the last question of the night. When meeting wrestlers, mainly the Legends of the Hall of Famers, are they approachable or are they pricks, like some would say?
Well, for me personally, they was approachable, very approachable. I remember when we was at the casino, people didn't know this or not, but Iceman King Parsons was there when they had the show. And Iceman, we shook his hand, and he was real cool. He was talking to us and everything like that. And another person, of course, Bill Dundee, real nice person.
Oh, yeah.
One of the nicest people I've ever met. Yeah.
Definitely.
Knowledge of the business. Yeah. Who else I met? Moondog Spot, he was nice. God rest him.
They're very intimidating.
Very intimidating, but he was the nicest guy you ever want to meet. Yeah, but for me personally, I never had that problem about guys, you know, being pricks or whatever. Not for my end. They was all nice to me, the ones I met.
And I think that's what it is. You know, it all depends on how you approach them. Because I remember when we used to do MAW, and I think you remember when Rick Steiner and Buff Bagwell came to that event?
Yeah.
And went to the back to Buff went to the back. He was in the locker room by himself, but nobody wasn't really saying anything to him. I don't know if he was private or whatnot, but I walked back there, you know, introduced myself, but then we actually shared a beer together.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Yep, you remember that? We had to share a beer together and he talked. Mm-hmm. Now I got a chance to see him again about a year or so ago at the USA Championship Wrestling Show. Still nice.
Mm-hmm.
Still nice. Still cool. Still well. You know, the top hats.
That ain't going nowhere. Yeah.
And I was shocked he lost that night.
All right.
Yeah, but I said it all depends on how you approach the wrestlers. Because I know, just like with the WWE people, they human too.
They're human too, right. Mm-hmm.
They see them in a store or something. And it's how, because you know, you got these fans just want to bum rush them and want an autograph and stuff like that.
Right.
But you get upset when they don't give you, you know, what you asked for, and you get on social media and you say all these cruel things about them. But again, they want 5 minutes to breathe too. They might just go and get chips. Then sometimes they don't want to always be bombarded. And you have to say, well, we're the reason why you make that money. That may be true. I said, you might have bought a ticket, but that's not the only person you went and saw.
That's right.
Let's get that clear, ladies and gentlemen. When you say that on social media, you need to think about it. One, you weren't the only one that did it. And two, you paying for just that person that you went and saw that was going to get some chips and a Coke and go back to their room and relax. And then when you don't get in the way, you want to cuss them out or, you know, try to use your kids as reason as to why you didn't get the autograph.
Mm-hmm.
Let's keep it real.
Right, they're human beings just like us.
Right. Like I said, I enjoy meeting the wrestlers. No, just sitting back, just talking to them. I try not to talk quote unquote wrestling ones and know they do it. I'm just have a regular conversation with them.
Right. And if it comes up, then so be it. Yeah.
Right. You know, you might throw that one question in there depending on, you know, what's that situation. And you might throw it on in there. But you'll be surprised how nice, I could say 98.2% of these wrestlers are.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if they guys never been to WWE, never been to WCW, you'll be surprised the results you get.
Mm-hmm.
I tell folks, support independent wrestling, because one, you never know who's gonna show up. Never in a lifetime I thought I'd see Dory Funk in person.
Man, that was, I'm jealous of that. Man,
never thought I would ever see Dory Funk Jr. in person. That was just crazy. I didn't have to say a word to him, but that's how crazy it was.
Yeah.
I definitely think he'll be back. So I'm trying to get as much wrestling time I get before I end up having to, you know, transfer and go away for a minute. So I'm trying to get all that knocked out, but we have come to the end of the line.
Oh, what, already, man?
Already, I'm telling you. See, when you having good conversations,
right?
It just goes, it goes real quick. But as always, you know, thank you guys for listening to the Get Snap podcast on this Wednesday night. We will be back on Friday to do the NXT takeover predictions. So have your prediction ready. We definitely gonna talk about it because I think this is gonna be a very interesting takeover. We'll do that on Friday. But until then, I'm Darnell Sparrow. We got Antoine Smooth on the other side. We are out of here. And as always, stay snap.
Peace.